that you don't know what you've got till it's gone. They pay paradise, put up a parking lot.
Clean air and water or healthy air and water. Every day is Earth Day. For Ken Gale, I'm Sally Gellert.
And I'm Donna Stein. And this is Ecologic for October 1st, 2021. When your air or water are clean, thank an environmentalist. If not, become one. Enough said. Starting today, October 1st, BlackRock's Big Problem Coalition will visit BlackRock offices to expose the company's role in financing climate chaos.
Today, Mary Cerulli, founder of Climate Finance Action, and Nancy Mancias, a national organizer of Code Pink, join us to talk about the campaign against BlackRock, one of the largest financiers of climate chaos. Welcome to Ecologic. Introduce yourselves so there's a voice to go with the name. Mary?
Hi, my name's Mary Cerulli. I go by she, her. I run a little nonprofit called Climate Finance Action. I really started this organization because I visited the frack pads and the compressor stations in Northeast Pennsylvania, and it was horrific. I came back to Massachusetts and understood that there was something bigger going on. And that something bigger is BlackRock, the world's largest investor in coal, oil, and gas.
Great. And Nancy?
Hey everyone, my name is Nancy Mancias. I am a campaign organizer with Code Pink based in the San Francisco Bay Area. And I just want to say it's great to be with the Ecologic Squad this afternoon. And this show is so important. As the planet is burning, we need more shows like this to make the connection between climate change and militarism. And it's so great to be here with you all.
So, Mary, tell us about BlackRock.
Well, BlackRock, like I said before, is the world's largest investor with $10 trillion under management. So it has really outsized power when it comes to pressuring high-emitting companies that are wrecking the planet. And so BlackRock and its CEO, Larry Fink, in 2020, vowed to do better. And vowed to use its big power to change the narrative, to change the way things are going on our planet. And so, I don't know, Larry Fink has a big mouth. He says all these things. Yet there's tiny, tiny steps that huge organization is taking when it comes to our planet and the injustices that go along with the climate crisis.
Nancy, what do you want to add to that?
Yeah, I don't even know where to start with BlackRock. I mean, we just don't have enough time, really. Thanks, Mary, for kind of giving us an overview of who BlackRock is. But one thing I want to talk about is BlackRock's investments are responsible for poisoning the air and water in the U.S. And even though they've made these small brushstrokes of sustainability, you know, investing in nuclear weapons contradicts it's the company's statement for a greener, cleaner planet.
They invest directly in these projects? Do they work through funds? How exactly, where would you find them if you were just an average person?
Well, I'll take that one because you brought up a good point. BlackRock not only invests in very specific projects, but most of all, it invests in the actual companies that are causing the problem. And this is because it's so big and it's an index investor. So it invests in like 25% of the S&P 500 is under BlackRock's domain, if you will. And a common argument we hear from big financial institutions like BlackRock against shifting capital away from climate-destroying companies is that there's a limit to how much a single company can do and that governments must play a bigger role in pushing forward bold climate agendas. But like I said before, Larry Fink has gone on record over and over about the need for public policy to shape such climate agenda. And yet we see BlackRock and other trade organizations it belongs to effectively lobbying against these climate initiatives.
Huh. What does index investor mean?
An index investor means that you're taking other people's money and spreading that money across many, many sectors and many, many companies, effectively lowering risk because you don't have your eggs all in one basket.
Uh-huh.
And the way they do this is they use a lot of technical data. And so there's not a lot of human resources choosing, picking, and doing that kind of work, but computers. But still, there's active human brain telling the computer what to do. So although some people call this passive investing, it is clearly not.
Uh-huh.
So
now, you say they take other people's money. So do those other people have a say?
Well, no. Because people like you and me will invest our money if we have any money to invest at the end of the day. But also pension plans hire BlackRock and other asset managers to manage those public state pension plans. Endowments, foundations, they all use BlackRock, and for some good reasons, because they're experienced and they have good people that are running these portfolios. But no, once you invest with BlackRock, you've taken away your own, you know, your own will. And
wow.
And sometimes that's good because there are good asset managers out there that invest responsibly. But BlackRock, not so much. Right, Nancy? Not so much.
Not so much. I think
anything that you can think of that is nefarious to the planet, to the world, BlackRock has an investment in.
Now, did you say they had $8 trillion under management? That's 8 million million? That's a hard number to get your head around.
It's actually 10 now, Sally. Actually 10.
You know, we know that BlackRock is the biggest now, but there are others. And tomorrow, Goldman Sachs could be the biggest. That is not a race to the top that we want to see. There must be so many more. That I think when you did the tour, I think we started off this week with the Walk of Shame, and the Raging Grannies were part of that. And that was what, last Tuesday? What other places besides BlackRock were on the tour?
Yeah, I'm really glad you brought that up. So Code Pink made an offering during New York Climate Week, and on September 21st, which is International Peace Day, we offered a walk of shame. It was a plea for peace, and we started off at the Black Rock headquarters and kind of wind our way through Manhattan, naming and shaming all the polluters who invest in weapon companies and oil companies. So we stopped off at J.P. Morgan Chase. We went to Bank of America. We went to Wells Fargo. And as you mentioned, the Raging Grannies were there. So they brought a celebratory feeling to the action. And it was just really great. And we hope to continue to do that.
Yeah, all those banks that would rather stay hidden and not have their practices brought into the light. So thank you.
And the video of the Walk of Shame that Code Pink put up, it's on YouTube, and we link to it from ecoradio.org. And we also have a link to a website Sally found that illustrates as best you can what $10 trillion looks like. You know, they show this is a $100 bill, this is 1,000 of them, this is a million of them, it's just amazing to see it illustrated, and the gigantic amount of space that a pile of these things take up. Because, I admit, to me, a trillion, I can't imagine what a trillion looks like. I have trouble with a billion, I have trouble with a million. It's just amazing that they can throw these numbers around, realizing that nobody can imagine what $1 trillion looks like.
Mm-hmm. I understand there's a week of action coming up. You're starting today at BlackRock offices.
Yeah. And tell us more about your projects, too.
Yes. I just wanted to give a few more illustrations for the listeners about not some of our demands, but some of the real projects that you can picture. And what we're demanding is that BlackRock withdraw financial support from companies that are tied to these projects, such as the Line 3 project in Minnesota that's with Enbridge, a huge fossil fuel company out of Canada that's causing unbelievable human rights issues with the indigenous people there. Also, Formosa Plastics in Louisiana and the Shell ethane cracker plant in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. So, you can picture those projects and picture those frontline communities. And BlackRock is complicit.
Enbridge has such a bad safety record. And, of course, the whole fossil fuel industry is looking to plastics. As we turn away from natural gas, they want us to keep using that stuff.
This is Nancy. I just wanted to go back to your question about how can listeners find out about BlackRock's investments and how they rate between A and D on the scale. And your listeners can go to a website called the Weapons Free Fund or the Fossil Free Fund website, where they can look at how the rating of BlackRock, and they will notice that BlackRock really kind of gets a D in most of their investments. Now, I know last year they did release a number of iShare ETFs that didn't have any weapon companies or oil companies in them. But like I said, going back to what Mary and I have been saying is that these are just small brushstrokes of sustainability. BlackRock has so much invested in climate destruction and weapons of war. And if they really care about the planet, they must have zero investment in these polluters and in nuclear weapons.
What's an ETF?
Okay, I'll take that one. I'll start. Nancy, you can finish off. An ETF is short for exchange traded fund. It's in a mutual fund because it runs a little bit differently. It's listed on the exchange. You can switch in and out of it very easily. It doesn't come under the mutual fund rules, but it's the same idea. It's a product. It's a package product, if you will, and they come in different flavors.
Thank you,
Mary, for explaining what an ETF is. And BlackRock has these packages. They're like ETFs, and they have one specific in aerospace and defense, which is billions of dollars. And the investments that are involved in this aerospace and defense ETF are companies that make nuclear weapons, that make weapons like Lockheed Martin, Northrop Grumman, Raytheon. So all the bad actors that are responsible for weapons and bombs and nuclear weapons.
So what can listeners do? It seems like such an impossible target, and yet you guys have taken it on and you're doing well. So what can listeners do to help? Mary?
I would say that listeners can join Code Pink in its amazing on-the-ground action. Listeners could look up BlackRocksBigProblem.com and join in that campaign and find people that they might live near to, again, do some actions. Bring in more voices, there's public health people that are involved. There's grandmas, there's moms and dads, and little nonprofits like Climate Finance Action. But come learn, come join, and come help out with your ideas, creative ideas. We have artists. We have all these different facets of keeping BlackRock accountable, especially coming up to COP26 in Glasgow, because once again, Larry Fink and his senior staff have talked about being a climate leader, being an equity leader, looking at deforestation, and again, the human rights issues that go along with that, and they're saying all this. Well, there's a campaign deadline, Glasgow, from Stop the Money Pipeline, which BlackRock's Big Problem and Code Pink, and there's 150 other organizations. There's lots of individual actions that we create where people can come together and call their state treasurers and call on the banks that are financing fossil fuels. That BlackRock is a big investor in some of these huge banks underwriting fossil fuel projects and companies themselves. Different ways. Come on down.
I was just
going to say, one of the first things listeners do to see if they can help is listen to shows like Ecologic and educate themselves. All right. And then once you're educated, talk about it with everyone that you know. And go to demonstrations and look at the websites that we give you so that you can attend these events. All right, because the more bodies that show up, the more clout and the better that we're listened to.
And call your legislators and write to your local newspapers and blast it on social media.
And Nancy, you were going to say something?
Yeah, I just wanted to add on to what Mary was saying, and then also what you were saying, Donna, about ways to take action. With environmental disasters across the globe, it is crucial to respond to this moment in history. And, for example, we were in the streets on September 21st, and we're taking that message with our partners at BlackRock's Big Problem and Stop the Money Pipeline. We're taking that message to Glasgow. I will be there on the ground, making the connection between militarism and climate change. We have a whole group of a coalition members that will be doing that as well. And we need BlackRock to make these connections as well and not just speak about climate change. It has a responsibility to the global community to consider the dangers of nuclear weapons and its investments in climate chaos. And not only does it need to hold itself accountable, but it needs to hold the companies that they invest in accountable as well.
I understand one of the reasons for going out to BlackRock today is their employees are going back to the office. So there was a move to get those people to talk to their higher-ups and say, you realize what we're doing here?
I'm always a little thinking that's a little disingenuous because people have an interest in keeping their jobs. So not quite sure that the employees are going to rebel.
No, but they may get a little uncomfortable and have a little bit of conscience. But it's...
Nancy?
Yeah, I just wanted to add to that about employees speaking up and rebelling. There actually have been a couple of employees at BlackRock that have stepped forward. One employee who talked about their nefarious investments. I can't remember his name right now. And then another employee, Isma, who is located there in New York City, who spoke up about the toxic work environment and the sexual harassment that she experienced in BlackRock. And she's really made waves across the nation through the media speaking about that.
It can be powerful when they do it.
Yeah. We can hope.
Yeah.
Well, as usual, time flies by, and we need to wrap it up. But thanks for joining us, everybody. Those of our listeners online can go to BlackRocksBigProblem.org for information on the Week of Action from October 1st through the 8th. That's www.BlackRocksBigProblem.org. To contact Mary, go to www.ClimateFinanceAction.org. That's ClimateFinanceAction.org. And Nancy at codepink.org/Nancy_Mancias. That's M-A-N-C-I-A-S.
And tune in next week on Friday, October 8th at 2:30 p.m. to hear about another week of actions, People versus Fossil Fuels in Washington, D.C.
You can rely on Ecologic to bring you news of upcoming events and people making a difference. This is a most important role for Ecologic and WBAI-FM.
To listen to this show again and any of our past shows and get environmental news on a variety of topics and links to EcoWatch's articles on the Colorado River's 20-year drought, how sponges can save coral reefs, and some interesting pressure on European oil companies, go to www.ecoradio.org.
That's www.ecoradio.org, ECORADIO.org.
And those of you online, please sign up for our email list to stay connected. Those of you on Facebook, please like our page, enter Eco-Logic.
There are many video and audio versions of Ecologic available to you for a donation to WBAI. Go to www.givetowbai.org and choose Ecologic on the drop-down menu after you click on Next, or call 212-209-2950 and say that you want to be a member or a BAI buddy.
And of course, we would love you to become a member in the name of your favorite radio program, Ecologic.
So show your love and help us stay on the air. It's a win-win.
And thanks to our terrific engineer, Reggie Johnson, we couldn't do this without you.
I'm Ken Gale.
I'm Sally Gellert.
And I'm Donna Stein. Join us next week, Friday, October 8th at 2:30 p.m. to hear our show on People versus Fossil Fuels.
Thank you. For WPFW Washington and WBI New York, I'm Askia Muhammad. Here are some headlines. President Biden is set to address House Democrats today as party lawmakers continue to war with each other over the future of his broader economic agenda, a battle that has delayed a vote on a $1 trillion infrastructure bill. For the second time, Democrats did not appear to have an immediate way forward on the proposal to invest new sums to fix the nation's roads, bridges, pipes, ports, and internet connections. More than half of all killings by police went unreported over the last 40 years, according to a new study from researchers at the University of Washington. The study compared open source data with a number of deaths recorded by a federal tracker, finding the federal court missed about 55% of all killings by police since 1980. That rate of underreporting was even higher for killings of Black Americans. The study also confirmed racial disparities in who is killed by police, with Black people about 3.5 times more likely than white people to be killed, and Hispanic people roughly 1.8 times more likely to face fatal police violence. Quote, "Police violence and racism is really a public health problem," one study author told ABC News. A federal judge today is considering a Biden administration request to block a Texas abortion law passed 1 month ago. The bill bans abortions after only 6 weeks of pregnancy, before many people even know they are pregnant, and makes no exceptions for rape or incest. Justice Department lawyers sued Texas after the law was passed and are asking the federal judge today to issue an injunction to protect constitutional rights of women in Texas. The law empowers private citizens to sue people for abortion procedures or aid and abet the procedure, making preemptive legal action difficult. The Justice Department is arguing that the federal government does have the authority to, quote, ensure that Texas cannot insulate itself from judicial review. Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton says the federal government lacks legal grounds to sue and is asking for the case to be dismissed. California Governor Gavin Newsom signed a bill into law on Thursday that returned an area of beachfront property known as Bruce's Beach to descendants of a Black family who were run out by white residents and city officials almost a century ago. The property was once owned by Willa and Charles Bruce, who purchased the land in 1912 and established the first West Coast resort for Black people at a time when racial segregation barred them from many beaches. After an attempt from the Ku Klux Klan to burn the resort down and harassment from their white neighbors, the Manhattan Beach City Council took the land from the Bruces via eminent domain in 1924 under the guise of building a park which was never built. Yesterday in Alaska, the mayor of Anchorage apologized for supporting the use of Holocaust imagery to liken a proposed citywide mask mandate to the oppression of Jewish people under the Nazi regime. Anchorage Mayor Dave Bronson has said he staunchly opposes the mask requirement and initially defended the wearing of yellow stars of David in protest this week at heated public hearings. Such imagery has been used by opponents of public safety health mandates across the U.S., drawing condemnation from the Anti-Defamation League and other Jewish organizations. The proposal before the Anchorage Assembly would require people to wear masks in indoor public places and outdoors. Currently in Washington, it's sunny and 72 degrees. In New York, it's sunny and 64. I'm Askia Muhammad. Thank you for listening to WPFW Washington and WBAI New York.
This is WBAI, and this is Fred Eagle Smith for WBAI.